Hey, Brazilian Dragon Squad, have you ever wanted to start your own podcast, but you don't know where to look? Anchor is your solution. It's really easy to use, and it's also free, so it's the best of both worlds. You can record the podcast using Anchor's creation tools, or you can upload your audio when you have it all recorded elsewhere, and Anchor will do all the distribution for you. It's really easy, it's really simple, and best of all, it's free. Create your podcast today on anchor.fm.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Brazilian Dragon Podcast. It is me, the Brazilian Dragon himself. We are off to Egypt for another edition of Scooby Snacks and Chats, and I am not alone. I have with me a man who always says onk onk like Yuha Hamasaki from RuPaul's Drag Race. It is Jacob Redman, Fresh Dew, Scooby-Doo. How are you?
Hey, Felipe. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that great introduction. Yeah, I'm just excited to be here. I actually remembered this one, so I'm excited. Like, this is a great one to podcast about.
It's very exciting. And we have the woman who requested to talk about this movie. She loves post-production. She is graduating this weekend. Please flood her Twitter mentions with congratulations. It is Juliet Berry, aka Jules. Jules, how are you doing?
Hi, Felipe. Thanks for having me on the podcast tonight. Yeah, I have a week until graduation, and I'm here with you guys to talk about the one and only Scooby-Doo and Where's My Mommy? So hype.
Iconic blast from the past. Yeah, so Jules, what is your backstory with the Scooby-Doo franchise, with this movie specifically?
For me, I usually remember, like, my dad just had so many like Scooby-Doo movies and whatever on VHS tapes and whatnot from like the 70s, 80s, whatever. And my brother and I would always watch them growing up. And just like being familiar with the franchise, I would always watch the movies whenever they came on, what was it, Cartoon Network. And didn't they have What's New Scooby-Doo? Wasn't that?
Yeah, that was the show too.
I loved that series so much. Very good. So yeah, I feel pretty familiar with like some of the movies, the show pretty well. A pup named Scooby-Doo. That was a classic.
It was. Yeah, that was Jacob's experience, right? A pup named Scooby-Doo, was that the one that you liked?
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm really glad that you're here, though. You know, I did not know that the senior week tradition was to come on and talk about Scooby-Doo, but that's perfect.
At least she had a senior week, unlike some people on this call. Did you do anything for senior week? Like me? No, not you. Obviously, you did.
It's funny because today, yeah, they just started. We're getting food trucks every day.
Nice.
So. Food trucks. I know that there's also going to be like a day for like kayaking or something. I missed getting tickets for that. There are a few Red Sox games and Six Flags on Thursday, which I'm going to that. So that's like that, the only thing I'm doing this week.
That's like very worth it. Six Flags is so fun.
Yeah.
The only senior week thing I ever got to experience was when Danielle came back from LA and then we went out to Tits for us, like pre-senior. That's a bar, Jacob. It's not.
I assumed. Yeah, I had to assume it was a bar. I really hoped.
Yeah, we went out and we did that, and it was a lot of fun. And then she had all the senior week shenanigans, and then my senior week was probably spent on Zoom last year. But hey, it happens. But I'm so happy for you, Jules. Jules and I met on the Pop Showdown experience.
Plug-in Pop Showdown.
Yes. And Jules was, and I bonded over our love of throwbacks. There was one night, like in the last few months, where we just were up until like 4 a.m. just talking about Danny Phantom and the Box Ghost.
Yes. So,
that was iconic. Jules is a great Twitter follow, if anyone cares. But... yeah, so let's talk about this movie. So why did you pick this one specifically, Jules?
I think, well, I had asked you which movies you were going to be discussing, like, with other people on the podcast, because I had a select few that I am vaguely familiar with, and just ones that, like, live in my mind rent-free, like, my nostalgic, like, favorites, this being one of them. And I also, like, feel like a lot of people just have, like, a weird, like, infatuation with, like, ancient Egypt, especially, like, yeah, during their childhood. So I, like, this movie always sticks out to me, and I always thought that Egypt was just, like, an interesting place to talk about. And getting into, like, the plot a little, not gonna spoil yet, but just, like, the plot twist of, like, who was, like, behind it all, that really threw me off when I was little. I was like, oh my gosh. So
yeah, I remember this movie a bit watching, like, Saturday afternoons, but my familiarity with Scooby-Doo in Egypt was more based on the computer game Scooby-Doo Jinx at the Sphinx, if anyone else played that growing up.
Not me.
I think that I played that one at the library. I remember that was, like, one of the CDs that they had, and you, like, put it in, and then I never could get that far because I, like, couldn't save it, my progress. So I just have to, like, start over and play the beginning, like, 30 minutes every week.
Yeah, and now I'm on Google Images, and it, what a throwback for this experience. But that is not the same plot of the movie that we watched. So this one, we start out in 41 BCE. Cleopatra is fleeing an attack by the Roman army, and then she decides to go into the Great Sphinx and put a spell on it to bury her treasure and prevent, I guess, like, stealing. And she unleashes the undead army, I guess. So I really like this intro. I thought the music score was really good. I thought the visuals were very pretty. I really enjoyed this. It, like, really got me into the movie, as opposed to some other Scooby-Doo movies where it's, like, kind of like, okay, this is just, like, an exposition of, like, what this monster is. This one, because of the movie, was kind of different than other Scooby-Doo movies, and there wasn't, like, a clear monster plot. This one just kind of, like, took us in a different way, and I like that.
Yeah, I think this is the best intro sequence that we've seen. Like, it was exciting. There was, like, an actual story. And then, like, when we were, like, going through and the title cards and all that, it was like, oh, we're, like, traveling through the, like, underbelly of the Sphinx and, like, you know, hiding from all the different mummies. Like, it felt fun. The one thing I didn't like was that they have all these alligators that are going in the pits. Like, do we expect these alligators to be around 2,000 years later protecting the treasure? Like, who's feeding them?
Who is feeding them, indeed? Yeah, I hope they are self-sufficient and can find their own food, because
I hope so.
Otherwise, that's alligator neglect. This just unlocked a memory. In middle school, I had this teacher. She was a reading and writing teacher, so she did, like, creative writing, and that's probably, like, where I discovered that I like being creative the most. Like, with, like, she had different exercises, but she would always say that she had two pet alligators or crocodiles, and they lived outside in the window. She was, like, a little bit of a cuckoo bird, but yeah. she would say, yeah, I have a pet crocodile, and she would just, like, act like it was legit, and we were all like, is this lady for real? And she said, yeah, I used to bring them to school, but then they weren't allowed on campus anymore or something.
That's mildly concerning.
Yeah.
That's a little scary, but
shout out, okay. Ms. Upton. Yeah.
All right.
Jules, do you have any crocodile experience or alligator experience?
I mean, the only one that, like, comes to mind is when I went on vacation to Florida, like, way back in the day. And I don't know if it was, like, my own hotel room or, like, the one next to mine. It was at a motel, like, right on the beach, but there was, like, an alligator, like, right outside. So no one could, like, open the door because they were too afraid of it. And that's it.
Yeah.
I'm from the north, so I don't have many alligator experiences because, you know, being from New York, they're not really there.
True. Yeah. A lot of them are from cartoons for me personally. And then the Jungle Cruise ride in Disney World, which I think was, like, canceled, and they're, like, revamping it because it's been canceled, which makes sense based on the...
Oh my gosh, I was in Disney World, like, just days before COVID hit last year. And
were
I went
there for spring break?
Yeah, I visited my friend and we went there one day, like 3 or 4 days before, like, all the colleges shut down. What a wild experience. And I was on that ride. So
it's wild, like what you were doing, like literally days. Like the fact that I was like in a bar and at the Santa Monica Pier without a mask on, like, and then 3 days later, like masks were mandated. It was so wild. Yeah. Like I went on a plane without a mask. I just can't imagine that life now. What was Jacob doing before the pandemic?
Working. I remember I was working and I was like, oh, I think I'll take a vacation in April. And then no.
Where were you going to go? Egypt?
No, I was going to go to New York, go to the live show there.
Ah, yeah. That we wouldn't have met at, unfortunately.
True.
But yeah. Imagine in a world without COVID, maybe Jacob and I wouldn't be friends. That's so sad.
Like, oh my gosh.
Like,
I wish.
Yeah. What, you wish we weren't friends? Wow. See how it is.
I'm just kidding.
Wait, how did you guys become friends?
We are in a similar, the same online community. And then there was like a game night and we became fast friends and worked together in this game. And then we got fifth and fourth place. And then I harassed Jacob to be my friend. Basically, that's basically like, cause I'm like an aggressive, like I felt like we had a bond in that game. And then we like, I feel like Jacob would have probably ghosted me, like if I didn't like keep harassing him.
No, that's very fair. I'm terrible at like getting back to people, and Flunk Pages like kept messaging me, and then eventually we would hang out and I'd be like, all right, I guess we're hanging out now.
I slowly chipped away and annoyed him into being my friend.
Yeah,
as you should.
Yeah,
I'm happy about it. I need people like that in my life, because without it, if people do not like pester me, then I'm just going to be alone forever. So
yeah. But yeah, I forgot to mention the date. So we were talking about this in the pre-show, but this premiered in theaters on May 13th, 2005, a limited theatrical release, but then it was released on home video on December 13th, 2005, but it premiered on Cartoon Network on November 24th, 2005. So a lot of dates, which is all over the place, but my experience, like I said, was...
It's 2005, and you know what? That's what I'm sticking with.
Yes, 2005, sometime. Yeah. But yeah. It was a lot of fun to revisit this movie, like, because I definitely remember like some Saturday afternoons they would have like Scooby-Doo marathons. I remember the Aloha one more, but this one, like, I remember bits and pieces. Like, I remember the intro for this one, mm-hmm. and then I remember like some of the scenes. I did not like the title card, the individual title card, but I liked the other title cards involved with like the producers and stuff. I just hated that, like, what they did with the Scooby-Doo and Where's My Mummy title card specifically, on title card watch. But anyways, fast forward to the present, and Velma is restoring the Sphinx. She comes across an ancient necklace and she shows it to Prince Omar, who is leading the restoration initiative. They accidentally discover the tomb of Cleopatra, and the necklace is an Ankh, which my reference earlier in RuPaul's Drag Race season 10, Yuha Hamasaki had a Ankh on her head, and I believe the joke was Ankh Ankh. What was your familiarity with like ancient Egypt? Like, did you study it in school?
Yeah, I feel like over the years, we would always have, you know, like ancient Egypt, just like talk about it. I don't know like why it was like one of those like focuses in school. But I also just feel like with like other TV shows or just like pop culture references, things would just keep going back to Egypt. Like, there was that episode of Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah, where Libby, this is the one that Naomi and I always talk about, because Naomi's like, this is the episode that she changed her hair for the rest of the series.
Yeah, she, like, I thought it, such great character development in that episode.
Stan Libby.
Great character. And I'm pretty sure that there are like other like ancient Egypt focused episodes of like other shows that I cannot remember. But I just remember like, yeah, ancient Egypt, I just associated with like learning about it in school over the years and part of my childhood.
Yeah. So Brighton, shout out to Brighton, who helped us with our Aloha Scooby-Doo notes. He did ask, one of the best Scooby-Doo movies ever. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what this film was inspired by, because it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember what exactly. Maybe the Mummy series with Brendan Fraser. Regardless, hope you have fun with this one. So I think, I don't know if this was like necessarily inspired by like any movies specifically, other than just like Egyptian like stories in the movies, but there was like a lot of like booby trap stuff. Like, Indiana Jones was clearly like an inspiration in that department with the booby traps.
Yeah, I do think this is like kind of a reference. It's like a much more watered down version of the Mummy movies. Like, yeah, this is something like I remember going over to like a friend's house and watching the Mummy series. Like, this kind of has the same vibe of that. Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that, oh, Jules, go ahead.
Before I just remembered. If you're familiar with The Suite Life, there was that episode. I forgot who that like guy was, but was it London or just like the whoever, they just got a bunch of like ancient artifacts, including like, you know, a mummy or something, and they brought into the Tipton. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Would you like, are you picking up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jules has had Suite Life on the brain a lot these last few months because can I say it, or is it like, did you have to sign? Okay, so Jules's professor worked on the Suite Life, and they got to have a Zoom call with Phil Lewis, and that was, I was very jealous of did you get any other guests from the Suite Life? Was Arwen there too?
Yeah, so like you said, yeah, my professor was a former writer. And a couple of classes this semester, he on Zoom, he was able to bring in Brian Stepanek, who played Arwen, and Phil Lewis, who played Mr. Mosby, which is funny because for another class of mine, I had this same professor come in and do an interview, and we had a surprise cameo waiting for my professor from Brian Stepanek.
Oh, wow.
I really had the Suite Life on my mind like all semester.
That's iconic. Like, I don't think we had anyone like from my childhood in any of the classes, but it was so cool when you were like, oh my God, I was like, what? So jealous. But just to go back to Brighton's question, where did Brendan Fraser go? I feel like he was all over the place in the mid 2000s, and I feel like he hasn't been anything in like the last 10 years.
I'm sorry, who is that?
The guy from Journey to the Center of the Earth, I believe that's Brandon Fraser. Let's do a deep dive. Maybe that's what Robin Akiva should do next. Whoa, he did not age good. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, he looks rough. I think that maybe his poor aging might be part of the reason why he's not getting roles.
I don't recognize him.
He was in a Bollywood thriller in 2016. That does not sound like
he's idea. Credited for the Fairly Odd Parents. What did he do?
Fairly. I can't find what he did, if you can find that. But yeah, he did not age well. RIP his career. Maybe a premature RIP, but yeah. He's in Doom Patrol, which is a voice role, right? So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well.
No. I've not seen it, but I don't think that he is.
He's a voice role as well. He's Robot Man and then also Cliff Steele.
Gotcha. So,
he was in Journey to the Center of the Earth, right? I remember watching that movie in theaters. And G.I. Joe. Remember that film series? Whatever. That was some IMD bags. We get the gang who is led by Scooby-Doo, very sad about Velma not being around because she's on a 6-month archaeological dig. They go to Egypt to surprise her. My question is, did they just take another cruise to Egypt with the mystery machine, or did they?
They have to.
How do they bring the mystery machine to Egypt?
Well, when they went to Australia, they took a cruise. And then when they went to Mexico, they just drove down. So I don't know. I think I just have to assume they take cruises everywhere.
And they're just like casually driving this like, you know, van in the middle of the desert. Yeah. I don't know if like that's how it actually is.
And then it breaks down. And I'm just like, why don't you just pour the lemonade into there? Let's see if that works. Like,
well, I don't think the lemonade would work. I think that you're already starting off on a bad foot because like this car does not look like it's made to go into the desert. Like you are clearly going to be falling apart at some point. So I don't know. Like
they were being full clowns driving this car.
They really were.
Yeah.
Thank goodness that we'll get to it in a second. But thank goodness that the car is light enough that camels can just like tow the mystery machine.
I know.
I thought it was going to have to get left behind.
And like it's on sand, so I feel like, you know, it would like sink a little bit. Like, wouldn't it be like tough for the camels to like pull it?
Those poor camels. Honestly, This is an idea. What if we all forgo giving MVP points this movie and just give them to the camels?
Give MVP to the camels? No, thanks.
Okay. Wow. We see how it is. But Scooby and Shaggy, they're like, oh, we'll get water for you all. And then they like walk 3 feet and then they're like, oh, I'm so thirsty. These, Jacob, you have thoughts.
Well, this has to be like the longest mirage scene that I've seen. Like, this comes up in so many different types of movies.
Are mirages like real?
Are they real?
That's like my question. Like, are these just like fictional things? Like, has anyone ever witnessed a real mirage? That's what I want to know.
Well, not a real one. That's like the whole point is that they're fake. But like, I'm sure that it's happened before. But like, I feel like every single TV show, anytime that they're in the desert, this is going to come up. But usually it's like a really quick thing. But no, like we had them swimming. We had a whole like musical sequence. This was a long time to be doing this mirage.
Of if you guys have seen Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, have we seen Avatar, The Last Airbender? Jacob has a whole podcast. Jacob has a full podcast of Avatar.
Amazing show.
You gotta go binge the podcast after.
Okay.
Your favorite character and what kind of bender are you while we have you?
Oh, I am for sure an airbender. Totally aligns with my personality. And what was your other thing?
Who's your favorite character?
Oh, that's so tough. You might have to circle back to me later because I can never.
Jacob's is Azula, I believe. And
I think Azula or Toph. I think both of those are good characters. I'm definitely a fireman.
I do like Katara as well. I feel like she's the unsung hero. Who else do I like? I like a lot of them. Obviously, Momo and Appa. They're legends.
Okay.
No. I have more of them.
Jacob gets mad at me because I picked the critters.
I like Momo more than Appa.
Whoa, that's a hot take.
I know. I get so much heat for that.
That's a steaming hot take that Momo's better than Appa. Wow.
He's more humorous. Appa just like, he's just there. Like he grunts and I know he's like, he's a major support for Aang, but like he just,
Yeah.
Wow. That kind of sounds like Felipe, someone who's a major support for me and just sits there and grunts.
Wow, are you fat shaming me?
I was not fat shaming you. I was saying someone who just sits there and grunts.
You're getting blamed tonight.
I am. Okay, that's what I deserve for all the bullying I've done on other podcasts.
Oh, yeah. He was bullying me on another podcast. And then I had to.
And how many podcasts did y'all do?
A lot.
Too many.
No one even snitch tagged. That was so rude.
Oh, I snitch tagged myself. Friend. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I texted Jacob. I'm like, you don't have to listen to this podcast. I was a little mean to you. And then, But then Jacob was like, you weren't that bad. But then on camera, he has a different perspective.
Wait, I want to ask you guys.
The joke.
What bender would you guys be? What would you?
Firebender. I'd be a firebender for sure.
Oh, interesting.
I'd be like, I describe myself as a steaming waterbender, like with hot water. Some sort of like mix of the two, but like I feel like I have some water energy, but I also am a fire sign by nature. Jacob's an earth sign though, but
I am an air sign, and
are
just
you an Aquarius? No,
you're I'm not a Libra.
Libra, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like Danielle and you would be like air nomads together.
Yeah.
I feel like you and Danielle would be. Oh, Danielle's also kind of like an earthbender. I don't know. We can like ask the squad later what everyone is, but Scooby-Doo is definitely an airbender. So
I don't know.
I think Scooby and Shaggy are airbenders.
I think Scooby is for sure.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But they are do this whole mirage sequence and then a bird comes through. I thought this was a falcon the whole movie. Like, I did not think it was a hawk, even though they said it was a hawk.
They said it was a hawk, like, really quickly. But yeah. I guess I don't know birds apart either. Like, I couldn't
tell. I feel like hawks don't. Like, I feel like falcons make sense for this area of the world. I don't think. Maybe. Let me just do a quick Google search. Are there hawks in Egypt?
I classify, like, hawks, falcons, and, like.
Oh, there are hawks. Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm a clown. But.
Far clown.
I did like Amal Ali Akbar. I think he was probably my favorite of the side characters.
Oh, I just thought it was really funny when they like introduced him and his all of his initials started with A, and then Shaggy made the joke about triple A because that joke just flew over my head when I was a kid. But now when I watched it today, I was like, oh my god, wait, this is so funny.
Yeah, that yeah. makes sense. I do like, I feel like Amal is not that hard of a name, but whatever, these white Americans like.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, you don't have to call him by his full name every time. Like, I get that you would not want to call him by his full name, and AAA is easier, but Amal is definitely easier than AAA.
Yeah, Amal's.
Yeah.
But I do find AAA funny and just yeah. like, it yeah.
Yeah, he was my favorite side character by far. Like, everyone else was kind of annoying at some point, but or like inconsequential. I did like the two lackeys of the Amelia Avon Butch lady, but I liked him the most. And shout out to Horace the Hawk.
Yes.
Speaking of annoying, Amal is about to like tow them, and they're about to go meet up and get the Sphinx. And then we meet the worst side character. We meet Rock Rivers, who just sucks. I did not like him.
He was awful. And I don't know if you saw the voice casting, but that man is awful too. We can do it in the cast section of the movie, but yeah.
He just wants to be Nigel Thornberry, but he can't.
I mean, you can't be as iconic as Nigel Thornberry. Like, some try, everyone tries, but no one succeeds. My friend was showing me this video of Nigel Thornberry, like, inserted into Disney scenes. So like, it's like Little Mermaid, and then it's like they'll pan away, and then they'll go back, and it's Nigel Thornberry on Ariel's face.
Can you send me this?
I will ask her to get me the link. Yeah, because we were showing each other stupid YouTube videos, and I was showing her Zoe trying to gaslight Emma with the Rock. Have I sent you that, Jacob?
I don't think so.
It's so funny. It's not just me. Navi laughed, my friend laughed, my brother laughed. So it's not just me that likes it. But yeah, they meet the host of Fear Facers, Rock Rivers, whose show was recently canceled because he doctored footage. Also, is he not aware that Daphne was a producer on her own sort of like supernatural show? Like, she clowned him. This was in a previous movie, the Zombie Island movie, which is another classic.
I like vaguely remember that. I have not seen these movies in so long.
You were asking for recommendations before the show. That one's one that I would recommend if you wanted to go back and watch that one.
Isn't that like your favorite? Or like the one you thought was the best?
That's one of the top ones. Yeah. At the time, it was definitely our favorite. But since then, the live action Scooby-Doo ones.
Oh, you know what you should do? At some point, do like a tier ranking. Like, you know those? Like, could actually like make one. You should do that with like all the Scooby-Doo movies.
Yeah, once we finish, probably. Or like, we could take like a stop down at some point and like do them so far. Yeah.
We'll figure out.
Yeah. Because we have something in every tier at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. But so Rock Rivers gets canceled because he like has doctored some footage. But like, isn't this whole, like all those types of shows, I assume, are fake, right? Like,
yeah.
I would be surprised if all of them are not doctoring footage. Like, he said, like, oh yeah, I did it to get good ratings. Like, good job. You deserve a promotion, not like getting canceled.
I think the thing is, like, my assumption is it was probably like Game of Thrones season 8 where they had a coffee cup on set. It was like something messed up and like it was on television how they faked the footage. So then they were like, oh, that's why it got canceled. Cause like there has to be some suspension of disbelief. Maybe. I don't know.
I guess that's
my headcanon. Jules, would you ever work in supernatural TV?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
That whole stuff scares me. I've never seen a ghost, but like, that would scare me.
Do you believe ghosts are real?
I would have to see one to believe it. That's the thing. So like, I don't have an answer for you.
Maybe.
I'm also Libra, like I said, and Libras are just very indecisive. So I know some people claim to have seen ghosts, and you know, some people believe it, some people don't. I mean, maybe there's like spirits and stuff, but I'd have to see one to actually like
be
like,
I think there's a ghost that haunts the pop show on set.
I will be the ghost that haunts the set.
So anyways, so Amal drops him off. He's like, there's no Nile River here because it's dried out, which how can you like, I understand how dams work, but I don't think it's possible to dam the entire Nile River. Like that thing is giant and powerful and mighty.
And why wouldn't there be like, you know, news stations, you know, lined up around like the whole river, be like, where the heck is this water? Where is it?
Right?
That's a much better.
There's like no one.
That's a much better point. Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like yeah, people know that like the water is gone, but there's no one there.
Yeah. There should be like a global story. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess there's no Nile, which will come into play later, so that's good, I guess.
Yeah, this movie did have a few like plot points that were kind of like, okay, so we have to solve the Nile, we have to solve like what's happening with Cleopatra, like why are these treasure hunters here, like there was a lot going on.
For me personally, I like that there was just like so much going on.
Think it helped the plot from like lagging. There was like only one or two moments that I was like, okay, this like scene is a little draggy, but I think like it kept the plot moving along, like because there was a lot of things to take care of. But we get Daphne notices the ankh around Velma's neck, and she's like, okay, here's Omar, and they explain the curse, but then there's like all this helicopter shenanigans happening, and Dr. Amelia von Butch, an archaeologist and treasure hunter, shows up with her sidekicks. I think one of them is named Campbell and one of them is named Natasha. So that's her sidekicks. And they go into the Sphinx and they tell her not to touch the tomb or to deal with the curse, and says that everyone who enters gets turned to stone, which we find out later happens. So this was a lot of like setup. So what did you think of all these character introductions, all the Velma scenes? I did like that Velma was like, did you really miss Nier? Did you miss the Scooby Snacks? Which, can't they buy those? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way that Velma's the only person that has the Scooby Snacks. Like, they're probably sold all over the place.
I did find it, like, very fitting that, of course, like, Velma would be gone for this long because like, she is, you know, like, the scientific nerdy character. So, like, this is, like, fitting for her. And I could see, like, something cool and interesting, like this, kind of like taking up a lot of her time, and like the other like group members being like encouraging her to go like on this trip. So I thought that was like interesting, because like you don't, and I mean, I don't really think of many of the other movies, like they really are like separated.
Yeah, you know? Especially for like 6 months at a time. Like they'll have like some random reason for why they go. Like my favorite was the pen pals in Mexico. But they always find an excuse to go visit whatever place they're going to. But this one felt like logical. Like they missed their friend Velma, who was like on a study abroad or whatever. Yeah. Even though I still maintain these are post grads, but Velma's probably a grad student. That's what it is.
Yeah, Velma's just trying to get her PhD. This one felt very real. Like I thought this one had good motivation for why they're like showing up there, and I think that's a good point. Speaking of people who are showing up, Dr. Amelia von Butch was like serving a look. She was like Laura Croft out there.
That's not as attractive though. But I don't know. Like it was she felt like Laura Croft meets Sue Sylvester. No offense to Jane Lynch.
Yikes.
Well, yeah, no, you know who she did remind me of? Jane Lynch, I think, voiced this character in Wreck-It Ralph.
Sergeant Calhoun or something?
Yeah. Is that the one who's married to Kenneth Parcell. Or Fix It Felix is the, like Jack McBrayer's character.
Something like that.
Yeah. She kind of gives me that vibes. Maybe that's why I thought Sue Sylvester.
I totally see it.
But I do agree. Like the Laura Croft look, that's a great look. Very, very attractive. Look, but
oh yes, it is Sergeant Calhoun.
See, Jules and I, we are a team. We work together. Speaking of teams, Jacob, how do you feel about the box ghost? While I pull up my next set of notes.
How do I feel about what?
The box ghost from Danny Phantom.
Oh, from Danny Phantom?
Yeah.
I don't have as strong of opinions as you and Jules clearly have.
An icon.
There's a lot more glory.
Jules is the only one who like I feel like puts up with my shenanigans on Twitter. Like she's like, you're also doing a deep dive on the Backyardigans at like 2 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yes.
Did you see the tweet that inspired it though? Like that Barry Jenkins said that he discovered the Backyardigans, and then he like all these like people started like clipping their favorite songs.
No, I haven't. You're gonna have to share that with me. But I know
you should send that to Zach, because I feel like Zach's talked about the Backyardigans a few times on Ing in there.
Yeah, I should.
I
will say, like, the box ghost bit is, like, kind of funny. Like, someone is just, like, bumbling and like not that good.
But when he like wakes up and like enters the avatar state, I feel like the box ghost will fuck some shit up. Like, he is not here to play. He's like been bullied all his life. Like, he's gonna fuck these people up. Don't play with the box ghost. Yeah. So shout out to Danielle, who loves Danny Phantom as well. So they're not successful. Von Butch and her team, they're like, we're gonna go in, we're gonna explode the tomb, which I feel like as it, so she has a PhD in archaeology. You are not supposed to mess with the artifacts. Like, you can't put a an explosive and blow up the hieroglyphic door. That's like the, illegal.
The explosive was like a little bit much. I there has to be a way to like break in that isn't like that destructive. Like, maybe you could like break one little piece or something, but exploding the entire room was like kind of disrespectful.
Yeah,
very much so.
But then after the explosives happen, it does seem like the curse actually exists, because as soon as they go outside, there's a huge sandstorm. And it makes it like impossible to go out. And then when they come back in, Omar's now turned into stone. Like, this curse seems pretty real.
So I have questions. Do you think they like built the stone Omar and Velma, like knowing that they like they had that prepped, or did they like put Omar in the stone and then they like somehow chipped him away like off camera?
Well, they did say it was quick drying cement, but I do like in my head canon, I'm going to say they had this already made, because if not, then it's just like, it's too quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. I was like, oh, I thought Omar was involved in some capacity for a while, but then like, I was also like, is Rock Rivers involved? At some point I thought it was just the lackeys, not Amelia Bumbutch. I never thought it was her. I thought it was
I was very confused, like what Rock Rivers' like role in this was. Cause like,
to they annoy always, me and Jacob.
Cause they always have, like, in, you know, most of the movies they have like, you know, some random like side character, you know, pop up at the beginning or every now and then it's like, you know, them behind it the whole time. So like low key, there were times, really when I was younger, because like when I rewatched it, like I remembered everything. But when I was younger, I at times I was like, is it Rock Rivers? Like, is he behind it?
Also, Rock Rivers isn't competent enough to pull this whole thing off. There's so many moving pieces. Like, you need an entire army of undead people to be like on your side. Rock Rivers. He was not even able to fake a TV show.
Yeah, and he was like there by himself. Like, I feel like, you know, he should have like a team with him. If you're like a traveling like
Is this supposed to be some like Bear Grylls type like supernatural show though? Like not Bear Grylls, obviously, that's like man versus nature or whatever, but like he's a one-man show, right?
Yeah.
I guess. Like, I mean,
he still needs a crew.
Like, fancy camera.
Yeah.
Oh, well, true. When you think about, you know, the Wild Thornberrys, it's really just Nigel and Marianne. So that's only two people. So I guess you can do it for one person. Yeah. But yeah, it just doesn't, like, when you think about it, yeah, he doesn't fit the role of, like, a villain behind it all.
Yeah.
He doesn't have no Agatha. No.
Yeah. But so they, Omar's turned to stone, and despite the curse, Von Butch is like, nah, I'm going in. And Fred's like, we got to solve this mystery. Velma's like, no, you can't. It's too dangerous. And later we find out that Velma's like, yeah, I just didn't want you to get involved because you could also like, my thinking is Velma was like, don't interfere with this. We have a plan. And then Fred's like, no, I need to get involved.
And then there's this whole thing where Scooby and Shaggy are like, oh no, like we want to like stay back and guard this body, and then or guard
let's like go fish.
Yeah, and then Fred's like, oh no, like let's not split up. And then the next thing they do is they split up, like
not intentionally, to be fair. It's because Scooby and Shaggy don't know how to keep the pace.
Yeah, but if they want to have them split up, then they don't need to make this excuse, just split them up. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Poor Shaggy and Scooby. The one time they weren't gonna get split up. They found themselves split up somewhere else.
I also was gonna say, like, they, you know, had like costume changes for all the characters. And at the beginning, they like gave Scooby clothes, and they changed up Shaggy's clothes a little bit. And then later on, like again, Scooby has, you know, just his collar on, and then Shaggy's like back in his like usual outfit. And then Freddie and Daphne and Velma too, they're still dressed in like, you know, Egyptian style. Like,
and they don't have backpacks, so where do they get the costumes? Like,
I don't know. They're dressed for the occasion. Shaggy is not. why does he get the pass? But like that confused me.
Yeah, what, I think he was wearing flip-flops at one point. You can't wear flip-flops to an archaeological dig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I'm glad that this is what we're making such a strong stand about. It's like, no, put Shaggy in the right gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Shaggy would have been in danger. We gotta protect those little piggies.
Yeah, we gotta, you know, see Shaggy get all, yeah, you know, dressed up for the occasion. Give him some pizzazz.
Exactly. But somehow they follow Von Butch, but there's a trap that's set off and Scooby and Shaggy are separated and they're attacked by the army of undead. There's a musical montage, which I did miss those.
I loved the musical montage. I thought that was so... I just thought the music was really great. Like, it was weird because, yes, it was like, it gave me like Egyptian vibes. Like, I don't even know what like Egyptian music would sound like, but I would always like...
Yeah.
Think of, it was just very fitting. Well, like the guy who was singing was kind of like, you know, like
I've heard his voice before.
Like,
I know
it. That like, music, you yeah. know, like mummies, rats and riches, like whatever, like however that goes. So catchy. I thought it was also fitting. I don't know if y'all remember. You probably do, but do you remember? I forgot what his Norm the genie from Fairly Odd Parents when he says, "Give me the wand." That song, like. I don't know why I just thought of that song. They just sound very familiar.
It also sounds like the guy, it kind of sounds like Man with the Hex, like that song. It kind of like has that vibe as well. I want to see who sings this song. Jacob, do you have any thoughts on the music while I Google this?
Yeah, I thought that this was like a pretty good song. I thought that the like the whole like sequence like went on for a while though. Like I had fun watching it at the beginning, but it was like, oh, like they're gonna fall and then they're gonna do this and then all this. The one thing that I really did like is all of the things where like they open one door, but then they're in the other door, and it's like inexplicable how they got between like the different doors. But I always loved that bit where like the mummy opened one door or one like sarcophagus, but then they're in the other sarcophagus. So he goes there and then they're in another one. I always find that one fun.
I'm trying to find the music. I'll find it at some point, but we can go back later. So they fall down a hole eventually and Scooby loses his collar, which that stressed me out. Anytime someone loses something that's like a belonging in a movie and then like or in like, some random area.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off. Go ahead, go ahead.
Katara, you know, when she loses her mother's necklace. And who finds it? Zuko.
Yeah.
That really bothered me.
It did. And you were worried for Scooby after that. Like maybe Zuko would have tried to like.
Can you imagine if Zuko found this necklace and then just was like, time to take down Scooby-Doo?
I mean, Scooby-Doo would be the Avatar. Let's be real. Like, are there? So I'm not as familiar with the Korraverse. Are there animals that can be like avatars in the future?
No animal can be the Avatar. There are like animals that are linked to the Avatar. So Korra has an animal.
But like maybe like in evolution, like maybe Scooby-Doo could be the Avatar. And like if they continued.
Sure. I won't yuck your yum. Fine. I guess it can happen.
Baby Yoda's definitely an Avatar.
Oh my, okay, no, we're not going back to Baby Yoda. I'm over it.
Okay. So he loses the collar, and then let's just follow Scooby and Shaggy for a second. They end up in a whirlpool, and
wow, again, a random whirlpool.
Just chilling.
Yeah, they fall into the whirlpool, and then they end up in this other area of the city, which we will come back to in a bit. But going to Velma, Fred, and Daphne, Velma loses her glasses. This was very intentional for me. Like, I was like, this has to be intentional later in hindsight. But go ahead, Jacob.
I love that Velma lost her glasses. I've been waiting. I've been doing these Scooby-Doo podcasts with you, and I've been waiting for Velma to lose her glasses because that's, like, one of the things that just always comes to mind. But, yeah, when she uttered that line, she's like, oh, I can't see without my glasses. I was like, yeah, no, you can't. Thank goodness I'm watching this. And then I was like, oh, kind of bad because she lost them. But I was excited for a second.
Okay, I found the singer. It's Joe Pizzullo who sings that song. Apparently his daughter was on the 7th season of The Voice, Sugar Jones. I watched that season. Let me look her up.
Is this like Six Connections of Kevin Bacon or something?
Ah. I don't know. Sugar Jones, what did she sing? That's what I want to know.
6 degrees of separation, right? Nice. I believe in that. I think like everyone is connected somehow.
Yeah, I've tried to do this before and disprove it, but it's usually pretty hard. Like, you can make some like tenuous connections. You're like, yeah, I guess it is six connections.
Yeah.
Oh, she had some bangers on that season. Like, she sang Survivor and Chain of Fools and Love on Top. Okay, we do stand.
Love on Top, great song.
Yeah. So that's who sang that song, I think, which is what we're talking about. Yeah, that sounds familiar. But yeah, so Jacob, what did you think when Velma was turned to stone? Were you like, is anything fishy here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit sketchy that they're going to be turned to stone so early in the movie. Like, you know, when I was watching and I saw she was turned to stone, I did a little quick little thing with my mouse so I could see how much time was left. And I was like, all right, no, like it's too early in the movie for this to be a thing.
Yeah. Did you think everyone else was going to get turned to stone at some point or no? Like, you know, that like trope, I feel like they did it in Teen Titans where like each member of the gang goes missing at some point. Like they like are frozen and it's solved. It's the last person who has to solve everything.
Or like that episode of Suite Life in the hotel, the ghost, like the haunted room.
Yeah.
That suite when they all get taken by like the ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that comes up. I don't know. I kind of remembered this one. So I didn't think that everyone was going to, but I'm sure as a kid, like I definitely thought everyone would. And then it would be like left to Scooby and Shaggy to save the day.
Yeah. Spoilers, they are in contention for my MVP point. I just don't know who yet.
They do great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So Fred and Daphne go, they're like, we're going to take the Ankh and the journal. So we're going to go look for Scooby and Shaggy. They bump into Rock Rivers and they look around the tomb and they discover that the necklace is the key to the curse. And at some point, Rock Rivers is like frozen in stone, right? Around here?
I think that happens a bit later, but I don't know. Okay. This character is so inconsequential.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta say, in terms of like turning people into stone, like if I were, you know, Daphne and Fred and I came across Velma turn into stone, I would be a sobbing mess.
Right?
I would like lose, like, I would just lose my mind. I would like not come back from that.
I don't know about you, but I would also like carry them around. I'd be like, this is our friend.
Yeah, they just like leave like this, like, where do they expect Velma to be? Like, just chilling there as a stone. Like, I would freak out. I wouldn't know what to do. And like, not even a single tear.
If Jacob froze, I would A, cry, and then B, carry him around the rest of the pyramid.
Yeah, I would try to do that too.
That's very kind.
Jacob would abandon me.
I would not abandon you. Maybe I would like do that thing on Google Maps where I'd like put like a little spot where you are so I know I could come back.
You think there's Wi-Fi in the pyramids?
Or data? I could use offline maps. Maybe. Offline maps, Felipe.
We could bring Wi-Fi to the pyramids.
Yeah.
Bring Wi-Fi to the pyramids 2021 campaign. That's it, the Kickstarter.
GoFundMe.
Yeah, GoFundMe. Wi-Fi at the pyramids.
That's what we're going to actually do with all the money we make off this podcast.
I feel like there would be people out there who will contribute to it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they would, but that's just sad. Yeah, but then they have all of the, like, this is the part where there's all these locusts, right?
Yeah, so Cleopatra releases a swarm of locusts, but Fred and Daphne escape. They steal a motorcycle, so do that. But that's cool. That's Velma's doing, right?
Yeah, isn't the locust thing something that's happening in the Northeast right now? Like, I keep reading about
it. I thought it was the cicadas.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
What's
yeah,
going on up here that I'm unaware of?
Oh yeah, the cicadas, that is a different thing. Yikes.
I think you the have to tell Jules now noise. That you scared her.
I think it's like,
aren't they deadly cicadas too?
Every 17 years, there's just like a bunch of cicadas and they just like make a bunch of noise and then they mate and die. And then they go back underground for 17 years. Should we go to Scooby and Shaggy now?
Yeah, so they're at the Lost City. They're mistaken for the returning pharaoh, Ascubus, and his lanky manservant.
That was so funny. Ascubus.
Isn't there like a Tales from Anubis like sort of show or something?
Anubis, House of Anubis.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah, that was a show. And then what's Shaggy's name? Shagon Common?
Something like that. Yeah, I did not pick the
Shagon Common.
I thought that was
but,
like
a bit. How did how could Scooby and Shaggy recite that back? Like, I would have been like, can you repeat that a few times? Like, I don't know what my own name is. Can you?
Well,
like,
a Scoobus isn't that hard.
No, a Scoobus is fine, but Shaggy, the Shaggy one.
Yeah. I thought that Shaggy made his own name.
No, they said that there was like a manservant named Shaggy.
Something. I thought that was so funny. A manservant.
I mean, Shaggy is Scooby Simp.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the Lost City, they're being honored with a banquet. They, Scooby leaves the collar behind that fell back. And later, Horace will find that, Horace the Hawk. But the leader, Hotep, not Yotape, Hotep, he explains that the people in the village chose to live like the pharaohs of old. And we see that he sneaks away into his secret chamber saying that they don't remember the sacrifice, though. Meanwhile, at a local bazaar, which Fred, what the fuck? He says it's a bizarre bazaar. That's not nice. Don't culturally be insensitive, Frederick.
Watch out, Fred.
Yeah. Gonna get canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was between the like two different Middle Eastern movies that we've had. This is by far, in a way, the least offensive. The other one was such.
What was the other one?
Scooby-Doo and Arabian Nights.
I don't think I've seen that one.
We did a podcast on it. That's one you can skip. But yeah, that one was much more offensive. Yeah. But
this one wasn't too bad.
Yeah. There were probably a few things that like in 2021 wouldn't have been done, but otherwise I think this was like much less cancelable. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say they're at this bazaar. They're like, you know, walking around. And then we see like Von Butch and her sidekicks roll up and use this like sleeping powder, knock them out, and not a single person steps in and stops them. Like, these are random people.
Come on, Dockers. They're just
gonna like knock you out and no one does anything. That was.
Yeah. Good thing Amal found them because like.
Triple A, my homeboy.
Triple A, let's go. Pull through Triple A.
These like randoms are there and they don't. Like, hopefully, like, I never run into randoms like this. Like, if I ever, like, passed out because people were, like, putting sleep spray on me, I would hope someone's checked in on me.
Why is it always, like, you know, Triple A to just, you know, pull through at, like, the right moment? Like, he was there at, with the car, like, at the beginning for transportation, and now here he is, you know, helping Daphne and Fred. What is he, like,
the best.
Is he stalking them? Is he tracking them?
Yeah, that's fair.
Horace probably alerted him.
I thought he was a little bit suspicious because he rolls up right as the car breaks down. It's like, okay, you don't have any water? Like, you don't have a little bit of water to help them? No, you have to help them with, like, dragging the camel, and then they find him again. I was like, I don't know, Amal, you're a little sketch.
Yeah, he was a little sus.
See, I think it was all Horace. Horace alerted him.
Horace the Hawk.
Yeah.
Clutching it out. But yeah, so then I think this is where Horace like shows Scooby's collar, and Fred and Daphne are like, oh yeah, we gotta go find Scooby, even though like they've been separate for like an entire day. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. They also like Daphne had bought a bag with the Ankh, and then Von Butch steals the Ankh from them.
That bothered me so much that she stole the bag. Like, whenever like a character.
Why does she need the bag? Just leave the bag without the Ankh.
When a character has the possession of something very valuable. And then, like, the villain, you know, steals it. Like, you know, like, Entangled, when, you know, whoever steals the crown from, what's his face, Flynn Rider. That bothers me so much. Because it's like, no, you're not supposed to have it. Give it back to the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swiper, no swiping.
Ooh, that's true. You must hate Swiper. I have a funny story about Flynn Rider. So I have a baby sibling who's six named Kennedy.
Queen.
Anytime I say Flynn Rider, she says, no, his name is Eugene. And I'm like, no, he's Flynn Rider. Like, I've seen the movie. No, his name is Eugene. And I always get in trouble. She'll like get on my case until I say his name is Eugene. And she like will not let it go. Anyway, yeah. I almost just corrected you right now, Jules. And I was like, you don't understand that this
it
is.
I know it joke. Is Eugene, but I'm sorry. I hate the name Eugene. I mean, then again, like he understands too. I don't like the name Eugene. Yeah, no offense to anyone who's listening to who's going to listen to this and be like, oh my God, like this girl, why is she judging my name? I can't help being, you know, having the name Eugene. So no offense to anyone who's named Eugene.
Just change your name to Flynn Rider.
Not a fan.
I feel like Flynn is a very popular name that people change their names to in pop culture, between like Eugene and then Walt Jr. In Breaking Bad also changed his name to Flynn. Like, people need to be a little more creative with names. Like, Flynn isn't all that. I don't know.
I like Flynn more than Eugene, but it's...
I like Finn more than Flynn. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. But I watched a lot of Glee, so...
Yeah, Flynn is not a great name if you're trying to blend in, because it, like, it does stick out a bit. Like, you should just be named, like...
Jacob.
Yes, Jacob. Literally everyone would just be like, oh yeah, that's a good name. No one knows. Like, it's just regular.
Is Flynn the name of the main character from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's going to take a Google search for me.
Yeah. I do not know that one off the top of my head. I love that movie, though. The food puns of that movie, I think it's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too, but they say there's a leak in the boat, and then the leak screams.
Yes, that one. So funny.
Oh, it's Flint.
Flint, so close.
Flint, which is actually,
I'll give you half credit.
Who names your kid Flint? Flint, Michigan?
I was gonna say.
I mean, not anymore. Yeah, that's a terrible name.
Yeah.
Flint, yeah. Flynn, Eugene, Finn. I'm not a fan of many of them.
Just change your name to Jules or the Bots Ghost.
We should have a tier list of all the names that we've mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Not to get
too into it, but I am really into just like names. I always think about like what I would name like future kids. There's like a subreddit on Reddit that is literally about like names, and I follow it. I don't know, I just find names to be so interesting.
How do you feel about the name Rowan? Would you ever name your child Rowan?
No.
You're not the only one who would said no.
Do you want to grade my name? How is Jacob? Is it too basic?
It's a little basic.
Okay, Felipe, wasn't asking you. Let's have the name also, expert weigh in. Thank you.
I mean, this is gonna sound a bit hypocritical, but it's J name, and J names are toxic.
I'm sorry, Jules. What are you talking about? Either you're admitting you're toxic, or you're just calling me out.
I mean, I'm just trying to call you out, because J names are just...
Maybe J male names are more toxic than J female.
Yeah, J male names are supposed to be very toxic. It's like a running meme in pop culture.
That said, I feel like Jacob is not a Jacob. Like, you don't feel like a Jacob to me. I know your name is Jacob, but I feel like that's not a name that like I would pick for you if you had.
What would you like to change my name to?
I mean, I would need more thought to consider. I feel like
you can get
not
back
Eustace,
to me.
Not Eustace. Right, that's a name that came to mind. No, not Eustace.
All right. You all maybe can like rename me later.
Maybe like in Oliver. I don't know.
Oliver?
Robin. Like,
Is that Oliver? Is that the, like, I don't know. I think that's Newsies. Never mind. I was about to start singing a musical, but that's not even the right musical. Let's move on.
You being a Nick.
No, Nick is a toxic name also, but also maybe I'm just like complaining that was.
I guess Jules just thinks I'm toxic though. That's fine.
No, Jacob.
I'm thinking of Nick Miller. Great character.
A little toxic though.
A little toxic. That's fine.
That's an okay level
of toxic.
I think Jacob works more than Jake for you.
Oh yeah, I'm not a Jake.
People call you Jake, and I'm like, what?
They do.
A few times I've heard you refer to as
Wiggler Jake. Used to.
Yeah, and then you were like, no, please not. Like,
well, I don't really care that much, I guess.
Yeah, I could see you as like a Nate.
Nate.
Yeah.
It's like a boring name.
I see more of a Nathan than a Nate.
A Nathan. I could go for Nathan.
Maybe like a Brendan. Nathaniel.
No, not Brendan.
I
don't like that.
Jeremy. No, that's another J name.
Jeremy?
Jeremy? I only think of Jeremy from Phineas and Ferb.
Ooh, Vincent. I could see Jacob as a Vincent.
Vincent. Wow. All right.
Not Vince. Great. Vincent. Sound off in the comment what name Jacob should be.
I don't like the name Vince, but I love the name Vincent.
Yeah. What about Vinny?
Oh, what about the name Addison? I want to name my kid Addison bad.
No, Jacob.
Addison Ray?
I don't care, Felipe. I'm naming my kid Addison. I'm not letting anyone.
Is it? If it's a girl, I like Addison. If it's a boy, I don't like the name Addison.
Yeah, agreed.
What about, I'm trying to think. Mateo. No. No, you're not.
I got quite a reaction.
Trigger.
Moises Arias. That's your new
name. Wait, I want to hear the Mateo reaction.
I had a thing with a guy named Mateo for like 5 years and throughout middle school and high school for like 5 years.
I'm so sorry.
It was like so stupid.
So wait, what am I talking about? I have it right here. Jacob is a perfect Tom. Tommy.
Tom.
Tommy, maybe.
Not Tommy. Jeez. I guess you'd be a
Tom. What about Timmy?
No, not Timmy.
Timmy.
Timmy, I always associate with like nerds. You don't seem like that. You're more chill.
Jacob's I appreciate a nerd. That. I am definitely a nerd, but I'll take it.
What about Jed? Jedson.
Jed? Oh, no. I wish.
I mean,
again, that's a toxic J name, though.
Okay, Bethel. What about Bethel?
No, I'm a, you guys have not seen The Bachelor, or I mean,
Bachelor. I'm aware. Very little. I was thinking of another reality TV Jed, but
thinking, you know, Jed.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, no, he's a toxic J name. Mm.
No.
So in Scooby-Doo,
Norman? Norville. Isn't Shaggy's real name Norville?
What are you talking about?
Shaggy's real name is Norville.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, you're getting back to Scooby.
Yeah.
Horace
goes to look for it. Oh, Horace, there it is. Horace goes to find Scooby and Shaggy. Hotep tries to feed Shaggy and Scooby to the Spirit of the Sand, which is a robot when it falls into the river. Meanwhile,
Spirit of the Sand? The scorpion thing?
Yeah, that's called the Spirit of the Sand.
I missed that name entirely.
Oops. It's in the Wikipedia.
Oh.
You think I picked up on that? No.
Okay. This thing was scary, though. This is like... This Spirit of the Sand thing, if that's what it's called, was terrifying. It was like a gigantic scorpion. Yeah. I don't know. Something about scorpions are just very creepy. The way that their bodies move, I'm just not about it.
Scorpions, yeah. Scorpios.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Anyway.
Speaking of toxic.
somehow Shaggy and Scooby like have this thing follow it around, and then it accidentally falls into the river. And then as soon as it falls into the river, it just like starts short circuiting. Apparently like this thing cannot touch any water.
Hotep, if you're going to control it, you at least need to learn how to control, like steer it not into the water.
That's what I was going to say. Like we find out that this, instead of being Hotep, this is like some brilliant, like, what is it?
Engineer. Armin Granger, a brilliant civil engineer who's been illegally damming the Nile River also.
Well, yeah. Why? So like, some genius person who doesn't understand like this robot can't get wet.
You know who he should have called? He should have called Snooki from the last movie.
I thought you were gonna say AAA so that they could get some water.
I thought you were gonna say Snooki Polizzi from
No. Oh, actually. Oh, never mind.
What were you gonna say? Jersey Shore related? Please.
No. No. Nothing. It was wrong anyway. So this was a funny thing because like this Hotep character is like such a B plot, like barely in the movie at all.
B plot. This was a J plot.
So random.
J plot. Toxic. So yeah, this like random ass plot line gives the line like, oh, I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you kids, because we're at the end of the movie, we're gonna have to like side with the bad guys, so they can't get that line. Anyway, I thought this was like a little bit of a weird way to shoehorn that in.
Agreed. But yeah, Hotep is off to jail, aka Armin Granger. Daphne and has to break the news to Scooby and Shaggy that Velma has been turned to stone, and Scooby and Shaggy are so upset. See, they have the proper reaction, right, Jules?
Yeah.
See, they closer. Understand.
I'm not like if I die, Felipe, you have to like wear
I will all cry
black for a week. You have to like cry. You have to like, I don't know. You have to do a lot of things.
Let's be real. Because I do have some left-handed tendencies in terms of like certain sports, like I will probably die before you. As you've stated on the last podcast that left-handed people die before you.
Yep. Is that Jules? What?
Is that like a fact or something that left-handed people usually die?
I do think it is. I used to, so my sister's left-handed and I used to tell her
different sister. He doesn't bully a 6-year-old.
Oh yeah. I don't bully a 6-year-old. Well, I I used to bully this other sister when she was six, but I don't bully the six-year-old now. I used to tell my sister Grace all the time that I would outlive her because she's left-handed, and left-handed people die before.
Right. I feel like I've heard that, like one of those like random mass facts.
Yeah. And I am switchy. It just depends on the skills, but like I probably have more left-handed skills than Jacob does.
I have
you do everything with your right hand, Jacob. Is there anything you do with your left hand?
I don't think so. I mean,
or like left-sided in terms of like goofy-footed.
No, I mean, I'm not very good at kicking a soccer ball, so like I think I'd be equally as good with both feet, but it's not like I'm good with my left foot.
I thought of a name for Jacob. Max.
Max?
Yeah.
Max.
Maybe I'm inspired by the Goofy movie.
Ruby is that it? Okay. Max.
Max, I'll take it. Yeah. Well, we need more sample size. We'll find a, maybe that can be a podcast. Find Jacob a new name.
Steve.
Just so that I don't have Steve? A toxic name.
Or Steve. Z.
Steve.
Okay.
Steve.
What about Stefan?
Stefan? Yeah. I feel like that's too cool for me. I can't pull off Stefan.
Brian.
I just don't like the name Brian. I just think of brain.
Yeah. Troy. I am embarrassed at the last time I misspelled Brian Brain.
I feel bad saying that because one of my closest friends is named Brian. I'm like, I hope he never knows of my
opinion. What about Miguel?
Maya. And Miguel.
Says Jacob, who voted that out in the first round.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Jules, that's a good podcast. You should listen to the theme song bracket if you haven't listened to that.
Oh my god, I wish I sent him my thing.
It's all good.
I still have my whole rankings.
Did you send it to me? If you haven't, you need to send it. No, don't tell Jacob. He's gonna drag you if it's not what he likes.
He will drag you if I don't like it. Also, Clifford Puppy Days is so good.
I put that on Jacob's birthday playlist.
Yep. Love Makes Little Things Grow, the Clifford Puppy Days theme song. I thought it was going to be trash, but I listened to it, and I was just like enamored. I love it.
Yeah. Clifford. There we go. That's Jacob's name. Cliff.
Cliff.
Nah. Dog. Yeah.
All right. So back to Scooby-Doo. I don't remember where we were, so you're really going to need to help me, Felipe.
Okay, so the gang comes up with a plan because with using Amal's help and Fred, Shaggy, Scooby, they enter the tomb. They discover Rock Rivers, who is a stone. Okay, that's where we are. Von Butch gets kidnapped by the mummies, and Shaggy and Scooby disguise themselves as mummies. Those were words. They disguise themselves as mummies to sneak in. They're soon discovered, so they like get to the top. So Cleopatra arrives, turns Von Butch's minions to stone. Fred signals Daphne, who is dressed as Cleopatra, is in costume on a boat. They like Scooby and Shaggy hit a gong at some point. This is like one of those like last act shenanigans.
Where did they get all this stuff? Where did they get that huge ass magnet?
I don't know. Plot holes.
Yeah. Yeah, this was like, this one felt chaotic because like we have Scooby and Shaggy becoming mummies. I still don't understand why they needed to do that. Like they could have just snuck around. We have like a second Cleopatra. That doesn't make sense. We people
third one too later. Stone.
Like all of these things were just like, what? Like I was a little bit lost.
Yeah, this was probably the point of the movie where I was like, is there a chance that it's like Campbell and Natasha using Amelia to get to them? And I was like, what if like Natasha is Cleopatra's long lost granddaughter or something? No, that was like,
that's some big brain stuff.
Big brain. But then at the end, I was like, it's probably Omar and someone else. I didn't think of it. I was like, Omar, maybe Rock. I don't know. They might be in cahoots. I didn't think Velma was involved. I thought I'm dumb, but there's a lot of shenanigans. There's like, this is like big, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, like the tomb, the booby traps are all exploding. There's like the river, they get in the boat. And all the things start washing into the river with like all the treasures and stuff. At one point, Amelia is like, I will never steal again. I will never pirate from people again. From like this whole sequence where before we get to the reveal?
Yes, the funniest joke of this this movie was when Scooby and Shaggy are like
paddling
away. What?
Is it the Monster Peace Theater?
No, they're like paddling away. They look behind them and they see Cleopatra, who's also in the boat paddling. Yes, and they're like, quick, she's right behind us. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Shaggy had some good lines this movie. Yeah.
He did. I thought Shaggy had some really good lines this movie.
Big pun energy.
Yeah.
Like lots of puns. Anyway.
Like, I thought the humor was pretty funny. But then again, I have like such a childish humor. Like this is...
Yeah. Shout out to Kate, whose favorite joke in all the Scooby-Doo movies that we had talked about before she stepped away from the podcast, which was Scooby picking up the phone and he's like, I gotta make a call. And Shaggy has the phone in his hand. He's like, I gotta make a call. And Shaggy's like, which call? He's like, this one. And he just turns and he cups his hand. He's like, help! Like, so stupid, but so that lovable.
So this was like a fun little thing. They like, they have the entire Nile River come back and get water. They have all of this hidden treasure is now in the water.
That little girl who jumped into the river would have been washed away. Like, I'm sorry, that was not
realistic. I was so bothered that like all these like riches just like, you know, got floated away with the river.
Yeah,
that's one way to do stimulus.
Me going to the closest river, jumping in, looking for treasure. Jacob, that's what I'm doing. We'll take a road trip to Lake Erie.
Or whatever
the closest lake
is. Michigan.
Lake Michigan, okay.
It's actually pretty close.
Jules, you can come with.
Yeah, well, Jacob, where are you located right now?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. Go Bears.
I've never been.
Oh, you're a Bears fan? What's your football team? I know you're a Cubs fan.
The Saints.
The New Orleans Saints.
You lived in
Texas. Okay. Did he grow up in Louisiana?
Nope.
He grew up in Indiana?
Nope. He Texas? Grew up in Texas, yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like my whole life story or is this?
I mean, if you have the time, I'm curious. What's your basketball team?
My basketball team's the Pacers because I was born in Indiana.
Okay. And then what's your hockey team?
I could not care less.
Okay, you can come to the Bruins.
Fine. There. No, I can't root for Boston Sports. Boston Sports is more toxic than a J male name.
Jules,
did you ever go to a hockey game at BU?
I have, but I just, the sports team energy here is way too toxic. Yeah.
No, so toxic. Not going to lie. Sophomore year, I sold my hockey tickets for student hockey thing for like more dining points.
I also just hate the Red Sox, and that's like the one thing I hate the most being here. This is coming from a New Yorker. Of course, I have to hate the Red Sox.
See, the Red Sox, like that. I remember I went to the Common. I was like, I started walking to the Common when they won. I was like, because I lived in Miles, so that was like right next to Fenway. I was like, okay, I'll go out, and then I followed the road. And at one point, I was like, why am I going there? There's going to be a lot of messy drunk people. And I like turned around, went to 7-Eleven, got one of those, like, what are those called? The taquitos. I got one of those. And then I listened to my Natalie Cole podcast or whatever, or they were talking about Natalie Cole. I forget who was on it, but I remember standing Natalie Cole in that moment. I think it might've been Bradley, whatever. Jacob could be a Bradley. No, I think Jacob could be James, but that's a talk.
I could see Bradley.
Has anyone ever said you kind of look like Zac Efron? Certain points? I don't know. I was watching High School Musical.
That viral picture of Zac Efron that came out like a week ago or something?
No. Mm-hmm. Which one?
He just looks very different in like the jawline.
Oh, yeah. He had jaw surgery.
Yeah. Like people were like calling him out, like saying Botox and stuff. But like, didn't he like get injured or something?
Yeah. He had his jaw wired shut at one point.
Yeah. So like I could see him having to, you know, get some like reconstruction done if he like broke his jaw and stuff, but people were like attacking him saying that he like purposely restructured his face and now he looks so like fake and stuff, and I'm like, no, stop judging.
It does look a little fake.
I mean, yeah, but like if his reasoning was, you know, he got injured and he was just trying to, you know, fix himself up, like that's just,
yeah. Jules, I did a whole podcast on the first High School Musical. You would love it.
I'll
send it to you when it drops. It hasn't dropped yet.
And I also got to listen to the one where y'all rank the theme songs, because I got so invested in that. I just forgot to send you my list, and I'm so annoyed about that.
It's all good. It's all good. You were like, your list would have just been like to like put them in order, like how we like determined which wins, because we did a bracket.
I still have like
maybe you could have saved Clifford's puppy days if you had sent your list, but it's okay.
It definitely would not be Clifford's puppy days, but
yeah. Clifford's puppy days is an absolute bop.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Not to get too off topic, but I didn't watch Cory in the House so much, but I think that's just one of the best theme songs I've ever heard. I think it's so good.
It made it past the first round, but then it got Pokemon beat it.
I don't really care much for Pokemon. I mean, yes, it slapped, but like I think Cory in the House just really went off.
Yes, it
Cory in the House is fun, but I feel like Pokemon is like something I would listen to. It's like much more iconic, so I'll stand by that one.
Yeah, you can at Jacob for all the bad opinions on that podcast, specifically him.
Wait, so for your ranking or like for the bracket, like who won ultimately? Was it Clifford?
It was Hannah Montana.
Wait, that was your top one?
That one, yeah.
That's my top.
Yay. So you didn't even have to send your list in. It won anyways.
Hannah Montana is my favorite by far.
Jacob didn't vote for it in the final round. He voted it for
Wizards, which is like also a great one.
Wait, what were like the runners up?
Wizards of Waverly Place was second.
I don't like that theme song so much.
Wow.
That might be a hot take, but
no, you listen to the podcast. People are on your side.
I mean, for me personally, not to get into it, but Hannah Montana, Kim Possible, Danny Phantom, Drake and Josh, I think those are like the top few for me. I also
how do you feel about Between the Lines though? That's the real question.
I mean, I used to watch the show, but like the song doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
I also really like H2O, Just Add Water.
Thank you. I stumped for that one so hard.
Top song. I love it.
Thank you. Speaking of being a hot water bender, like, because I feel like that was one of them. Like they could.
Emma, no.
Ricky.
Ricky.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, get out the water. I can't do that meme.
Who is the woman who played? I forget. Oh, Brie Larson was dating some band guy, and then they broke up, and now the lead singer of that band is dating the woman who played Phoebe. That's I don't remember his name though. But
Jamie Tongan. Oh, didn't she date the guy from? Just continue with the podcast. Yeah. I know.
So Velma, Scooby starts licking Velma's face or Cleopatra's face. And then they explain that she planned the whole thing along with Prince Omar and his workers to scare away the treasure hunters. They made cement copies of themselves to pass off the victims of the curse. And Von Butch and her team were arrested and taken to prison. And Velma apologizes for keeping this secret. And she did it to protect them, feeling that it was too dangerous to include them. And then later they restore the Sphinx. It's finally completed. Shaggy fires a jumbo-sized firecracker and it hits the Sphinx's nose, which once again falls off. And Omar says that the Sphinx looks better that way. They laugh, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, the end of the movie. Any final thoughts from that whole like reveal sequence?
I think I have some thoughts when we get to the LVP point, but
okay.
That's about that.
Yeah, Jules, do you have any final thoughts on the plot before we get into our regular scheduled shenanigans? Nah. Yeah, I think this was a fun movie. I don't know if it's the best one we've seen, but it's definitely not the worst by any means.
So, I mean, for me, this is a very nostalgic one. And
Yeah.
For me personally, I just was always like fascinated by like riches and rubies and stuff. So like the image of like the Ankh or whatever just like lives in my mind rent free whenever I think of this movie.
Love the Ankh. It was very pretty. Wish they did more. I wish they had done the title logo in the first one where it was like Hanna Barbera presents. I wish they had kept it like Scooby Doo and Where's My
Mommy. You keep mentioning the title logo. Like I did not think too much into that. Like that. Like,
I love seeing the logos.
I don't remember projects. What it looks like.
We talk about it. Yeah, we love the title sequence here.
Yeah, I'm a big like fan of like what people like creatives into. Like shout out to the graphic designers. And the animators who do that fun stuff. But quickly, let's talk about the voice cast. Frank Welker as Fred and Scooby-Doo. Casey Kasem as Shaggy. Mindy Cohn as Velma. Grey DeLisle as Daphne and Natasha.
Love her.
She's in like everything. She's Icky Vicky. Yeah. Yeah,
her and
Tara Strong.
Top. Yeah. They carry the voice acting industry.
We love them. Yeah. Christine Baranski as Amelia Von Butch. AJ Naidu as Prince Omar. I might have mispronounced it, might be Ajay. Apologies if I did. Ron Perlman as Armin Granger, aka Hotep / Ancient One number two. The canceled Jeremy Piven as Rock Rivers. That's who voiced him. Another reason to dislike Rock Rivers. Wynton Marsalis as Campbell. Oded Fehr as Amal Ali Akbar. And Virginia Madsen as Cleopatra. And that's the voice cast. And then shout out to the music quickly. Mummies, Rags, and Riches, written by Thomas Chase. Lyrics by Thomas Chase and Joe Sichta. Performed by Joe Pizzullo. I don't think he's related to Tommy. Which Curse is Worse, written by Thomas Chase. Lyrics by Thomas Chase and Joe Sichta. And then performed by Babette Jamison Harrison and Molly Pasudi. And then Pharaoh's Rag, written and produced by Thomas Chase. Anyways, so let's get into our culprit game first. That's what we usually do here.
One second, just quickly, and feel free to cut this if you want to. But I think Ron Perlman, he was Hotep, is that what you said?
Yeah.
He has like one of the most punchable faces I've ever seen. Do you agree?
Let me look this up. Ron.
This is like something I've said for so long, but like.
Yep, agreed.
Okay. I just want to feel validated.
He looks like a Trump supporter.
I would never actually want to like hit anyone, but.
He looks like a Trump supporter. I'm sorry. Why, when I Google image search him, photos of a canceled disgraced Hollywood producer shows up. And I am concerned that he's even more punchable now.
Yikes. Yeah. Anyway, we can get to the culprit game.
Culprit game. So what are we saying? Are we saying Velma, Omar, and the Rock? Is that who the culprits were? Is that what we're saying?
Rock? What did Rock do?
He was involved with them at some point. Like, he like helped. Should we just say like Omar and Velma?
Omar and Velma, yeah.
Omar and Velma. I said Omar. That was like kind of my final guess.
Wait, I'd like to say one thing. So you said cancel Hollywood producer, and I wanted to see where the picture was. It's because Ron Perlman once pissed on his hands before shaking hands with this canceled Hollywood producer.
Oh, so we don't hate him.
It's actually hilarious.
Was it intentional, or was it like because this person sucks?
Yeah, he said he was about to meet him and he knew he was going to shake his hand. So he went into the men's room and peed on all of his hands and went straight up to him on the receiving line. Anyway,
well, that's kind of iconic.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Maybe he's not a Trump supporter. Maybe I spoke too soon.
Yeah, well, he's in Sons of Anarchy. And in that like show, like I just anyway.
Yeah,
we have to keep it.
Never seen that show. Yeah. Is it, am I missing out, or is it like, if I miss it, no. It's not that great. Okay. Anyways, I said Omar, that I thought it was Omar. That was like my biggest house. I didn't really think it was anyone else at parts. I thought it was, I thought it could have been Natasha or Campbell at different parts. I thought it could have been, Rock. But at the end of the day, I was like, Omar is like doing this. It's like very similar to like Manu and Snooki. I just didn't understand the purpose. Jacob, yeah, what did you say?
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jules. Go ahead, Jules.
I was just gonna say, like, yeah, Omar, I could totally see it being him. And then at times it was like, what is the point of having, you know, Rock Rivers in this? And again, AAA, low-key sus. Like, why did he show up at, like, you know, the right times? But yeah, Omar.
So Omar was your guess as well?
I mean, maybe. It's just like rewatching this, like, I already knew.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. We'll give you the point.
Yeah. I definitely thought Omar. Okay. Like, you know, you're not gonna show up and like be like, I don't know, kind of important, care about the like preservation of the Sphinx, and then like go away a third into the movie and not like come back at the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. So here we go. So that leaves everyone to go up a point. So I have 19 points. Jacob and Kate combined have 18 points. And then Jules brings the guest score to 18 as well. So it's very tight right now, and we still have a lot to go. So anyone's games. Next up, we have the MVPs and the LVPs. Jules, as our guest, do you want to go first? Or do you want to go first with the LVPs while Jacob and I go first with the MVPs, so you kind of understand what we're talking about?
I don't know. Like, I want to hear what you guys think and like your reasoning, because I'm kind of like,
Sounds good. Jacob, do you want to go first with your MVP and then I can go first with the LVP?
Yeah, so I think my MVP is going to be the Pharaoh himself. I'm giving it to Scooby-Doo. I felt like Scooby, multiple points, was, you know, like pushing the like mystery forward. 50. Like he was the one figuring stuff out. There were times where like Scooby and Shaggy together, they were together the whole time. So like separating them is a bit hard, but I'm giving it to Scooby. Scooby, like as they were going together, they got that like Spirit of the Sands thing into the water. I felt like they did a good job, like in the final sequence. I felt like Scooby-Doo was holding his own.
Yeah, I was between the two. So then I'll split the difference. I'll give it to Shaggy. And then headcanon wise, well, I'll bump it up because Scooby got discovered as a mummy. Shaggy did not. That's like the easy like solution. I think the two of them were MVPs together. And it was hard for me to split the difference. And I was just going to be like, I'll see what Jacob does. And then, so Shaggy is now tied for the most amount of MVPs with Scooby for me with 5 apiece. Meanwhile, Scooby takes the lead with another point for Jacob with 3. Jules, do you want to do your MVP or do you want us to do our LVPs and then you can do both together?
Like after seeing your points, like I clearly do not think Daphne or Fred did much as the others. I do feel like it's a toss-up between Shaggy and Scooby because like they were together most of the time. Maybe I'll give it to Scooby because, you know, when they're in the boat, he's the one who sniffs out Velma. And he realizes that
that's true.
Yeah.
So that's true.
Scooby gets your MVP point. The first MVP point from the guests to Scooby-Doo. So the guests have never given, the only person who has yet to receive an MVP point from the guests is Fred. Now that Scooby has one, even Scrappy has a guest MVP point.
Keep it that way. Don't give Fred a point ever.
No. Maybe I'll try to speak to AJ. You know he's gonna pick Fred just to be chaotic.
Oh, of course. AJ can't. AJ has the exception. I think the LVP is clear for me at least. The LVP is the person that was not there the entire time, never helped with the mystery. In fact, was actually contributing to the whole thing. Like Velma. Yeah.
Agreed.
Welcome to your LVP point.
Yeah. No, Velma was causing the chaos, like that in itself demerits her and gives her my LVP as well. Jules, are you sweeping or do you have a second opinion?
No, I think she definitely, because she was behind it all. I mean, I think her reasoning was very clever. Like, I understand, you know, who would expect them to be behind it all. So I thought that was clever, but like, you did it to your own friends. You fooled them.
Yeah. Jacob and the guests have both now given Velma their first respective LVP points. So now Velma has an LVP point on the board, which is a new thing for Velma. She swept it. She is now 6 points. Now the person with the least LVP points is Daphne, with Scrappy and Scooby both having 5. So Velma is in third place of the LVPs, which is wild. The most is Fred. Fred has 19. Shaggy has 13. Fred wasn't even in half the movies like that we watch, or like I guess at this point Fred is like catching up because.
And Daphne's in last.
Daphne has the least amount of LVP points, but she has the most.
Daphne never messes up that much.
Yeah, Daphne has.
She's always the one who's being like, you know, snatched or taken away. Like, you dumbass, like, you always get like.
We haven't gotten to that arc of Daphne yet, but yeah, Daphne has 9 MVP total points.
I love her. LVPs. She's my favorite character, but like, girl, like, this is a repeating issue for you.
Yeah.
Get some pepper spray. I don't know.
Velma's my favorite character, but also Velma just did so bad this episode. Like, Velma's got to get the LVP.
Yeah. Scooby's my favorite character, but in terms of the humans, it's Daphne. So,
yeah.
Shout out to, I did give Jules a column for AAA and the camels because I feel like he deserves some love in the bonus guest MVP. Anyways, now we got our scores, which is our final thing to do in this podcast. So Jacob, do you want to go first or should I go first?
You can go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am just looking at my previous scores. I don't think this is on the same level as Zombie Island and Cyber Chase and Aloha. So I think it's at least a 4.25. That said, I think I would give it a 4.25, but if compared to my other 4.25, which is currently Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed, I think this would be below it. But I think 4.25 is a solid grade for this movie. I think it's slightly better than The Witch's Ghost. I think there were more funny lines. And that's why I'm giving it a 4.25. Jacob, what about you?
Yeah, I think this is a good one. I like had fun the whole time I was watching it. I think this is about the same as The Monsters of Mexico, which I gave that a 4. So I will be giving this one a 4 as well. I think it is, I think this is like above average Scooby-Doo.
Okay, now Jules, what do you want to give it as the guest? You can do whatever you want. We have had people tank a movie because give it 0.25 because it was that bad to them, even though they signed up to do that episode, even though it's like not objectively the worst in my opinion. And this was an iconic move by her, but you could also like, if this is your favorite movie, you can give it a 5. You can do whatever you want. You have full control as our guest.
Yeah. It's funny that you say 4.25 and 4, because I'm in between those two scores specifically. Cause again, not my favorite. Cause I really like, you know, Cyber Chase and Monsters Unleashed. Like a few of those I know are like better, but because I haven't seen those in such a long time, I don't really know what to compare this to. So I think I might just settle for a 4.
Okay.
Because I think there are others that are better.
Yeah. So with that, the total is 4.08, which is probably, it's up there in the upper echelons. It might be second, actually.
I think it's not fourth second. Best it's one.
Fourth best, yeah. Because
the highest...
So we have a 4.5, which is Scooby-Doo, the first live action, despite Kate trying to tank the score. And then 4.375 was Monster of Mexico. So this is not as high as that. Zombie Island is a 4.44, and Witch's Ghost is a solid 4. So this is above that one. So yeah, I think this is in
fourth place. And Cyber Chase. So this is actually fifth. Cyber Chase is a 4.16, and this is a 4.03. So this is fifth place.
Okay, because I think, Cyber Chase is so much better than this one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that might be like my favorite. But Monsters, the Mexico one, is that the one, like the Chupacabra?
Yeah.
Because Daphne gets kidnapped in that one.
Yes, she does. Yeah. See, I used to confuse those two because they go in the pyramids in that one too. It's just like the pyramids of Mexico.
Right.
So anyways, do we have any final thoughts on this movie?
I miss these movies.
Yes. Feel free to watch more and listen to the podcast, and then you can come back on whenever you want.
I would like to.
Yes.
Because I know you cover like other things as well.
We got to get you talking about a DCOM at some point too. Maybe the Suite Life movie, since you have so much Suite Life insight these days. But
I binge watched the whole series before this.
Again, congratulations on graduating college. Where can people keep up with you and celebrate your big achievement if you want people to follow you on social media? If not, that's fine.
I'm fine with people following me. Probably on my Twitter, because I feel like I'm a bit unhinged there. But my Insta at JUL.BARRY, Jewel Barry, that's me.
Yeah.
That's really it. One day I'll be famous and rich.
Are you on TikTok?
Talk with me like the Kardashians, but
yeah.
What was that?
Are you on the TikTok?
I am, but I don't make anything.
Okay. You're more of a lurker.
Yeah, I'm a lurker.
Yeah. Jacob, Mr. In the Dark, where can people follow you? You were in the dark. I don't know.
I was just leaning back a little bit. The lighting in this room is weird. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at JK Redman. I'm on all social media there, but I don't really post a ton. You can also
retweeter.
Yeah, I am a retweeter. You can listen to Aang In There, the official Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast with me and Zach breaking down Avatar. We are about to record the library episode, which is something that haunts my nightmares. So
that episode used to freak me out.
It's so scary. It's like legitimately scary.
Can I submit a question on air? Can you write this down?
Yeah.
Does this episode also make you all want to go to planetariums again? That's my question.
Yes. The answer is yes.
I really want to go to a planetarium. I feel like I fuck with planetariums now after that episode.
I want to go to a desert, but like...
Yeah. Maybe Joshua Tree when we're in LA together, we can go. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to do that on spring break, but then
Ms. What Rona, were you going to do on spring break?
Last year, go to Joshua Tree with some friends, but then Ms. Rona showed up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to LA so bad, bro.
Yes, let's go. Let's go. Anyways.
Hey, Felipe, where can people find you?
You can follow my main at What the Fleep on Twitter. You can also follow What You Doin', our Phineas and Ferb rewatch podcast at What You Doin' Pod. We just had a great episode with Touchdown Tommy. This week it's just going to be the three of us. We talked about Phineas and Ferb Get Busted. We had two questions by this person in the corner of my screen, Jacob. He asked a few different questions for us. We also have Brazilian Dragon podcast. We talked about Eddie's $1 Million Cook-Off, which released today, an iconic movie. Some weird recipe choices. But we don't have to talk about that. And then I had a big week. I was on Community Building, which drops on Tuesdays. Hear me talk about interpretive dance, the season one, episode 14 of Community with the great Jess and Josh Wigler, former guest of the podcast, Jess Sterling. And then on RHAP, I was on Robin Akivanita podcast talking about High School Musical. And it was a great time, had a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I just did a lot of talking about Troys who have a secret passion of dancing and musical theater this week on different podcasts. and otherwise, if you got to the end of this podcast, what's your people hashtag? Onk Onk, A-H-N-K-H-N-K. Also, send us your suggestions for Jacob's new name. I'm also thinking maybe James, but I know he's a friend named James. This is going to bother me. I'm going to have to I'm just going to send random names to Jacob over the next few days. Be like, what about this name?
Perfect.
Yeah. What about Deshaun? I don't know if you can rock it, but you should. Ty. What about Ty? Just Ty. T-Y.
No.
I don't name yourself like after an icon. Yeah. Okay. It does not fit you probably. Yeah. Troy, maybe. I think Troy. Troy could be a name for you.
Okay. We'll keep workshopping. Yeah. People can write in, but until
Liam,
then.
Liam,
okay, maybe.
Yeah. Send us your suggestions, and also, yeah, follow us all. Until next time. Oh, before we go, our next Scooby-Doo episode will be Scooby-Doo Pirates Ahoy. Send in your feedback. 5 stars on iTunes. Also subscribe. But we have the extra special Touchdown Tommy, Tommy Tidbits, Ranch Tommy, whatever he goes by these days. He's gonna come talk about Scooby-Doo Pirates Ahoy. So just get excited for that. Until next time, everyone, hashtag onk onk. Bye.
Bye.
Money's rags and riches, hieroglyphics off the wall. There's no strife in the afterlife, unwind and have a ball. Pyramids have power and secrets stashed away, but between the traps and the money rats, they can really blow your day. The ancient pharaoh's spirit haunts the halls of this cold, dark tomb. A curse is hurled through the underworld, coming to seal your doom. Rags and riches, oh, they'll give you quite a fright. So enjoy the ride as you run and hide. This joint is out of sight. Money's rags and riches, hieroglyphics on the wall. Hope for luck gives you diving duck. There's a way to fool them all. An ancient pharaoh spirit walks among these halls of gloom. Don't miss your chance to see the mummies dance as music fills the tomb. Rags and riches are all that is here tonight.